a big court ruling on global warming.
Don't miss the numbers, the news, and Kai's final note. Subscribe to the Marketplace podcast. Find it on iTunes or online at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Car makers, power plants, and oil companies are considering their options, as they say, after a federal appeals court ruled yesterday that the Environmental Protection Agency can regulate greenhouse gas emissions. The ruling is seen as a win for environmentalists and the Obama administration. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Scott Tong reports.
The EPA's authority to limit global warming emissions goes back to a Supreme Court ruling from 2007. It's complicated. But the upshot is lots of people don't like it. Groups of farmers, miners, truckers, home builders, herders, and drillers all challenged it in federal court and lost. Business professor Jay Apt at Carnegie Mellon says the EPA now has a green light to regulate tailpipe and power plant emissions.
The ruling clears the way for both mobile sources and the stationary sources.
Coal interests have particular reason to be worried. Their product spits out twice the carbon of natural gas, which also happens to be cheaper in many places. Andy Byers is with the consulting and construction firm Black & Veatch.
In addition to the market advantage the gas has now, this action would make it even more difficult for coal-fired power plants.
He figures in the coming decade, natural gas will push aside coal as the king of power generation. In Washington, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
The big box electronics store Best Buy may be going private. The store's founder and largest shareholder, Richard Schultz, is reportedly talking to Wall Street banks about a major restructuring of the company. Marketplace's John Dimsdale explains.
It's been a rough year for Best Buy. Sales are off, and the chief executive resigned in March after hiding an affair with a subordinate. The company's stock price has dropped almost 40%. Michael Pachter, a research analyst at Wedbush Securities, says Best Buy can't compete for internet shoppers.
Any price-conscious, tech-savvy consumer who has a smartphone is able to use Best Buy as a showroom and comparison shop instantly. And when they do comparison shop for big ticket items like televisions, they will always find that those TVs are cheaper somewhere else.
Schultz, who owns about 20% of Best Buy, isn't commenting, but news reports say he wants to take the company private in order to drastically downsize stores and streamline the merchandise. But analyst Pachter is skeptical.
It'll take them, 10 years to get out of the leases that they have to open up new stores, and they don't have 10 years.
Pachter doesn't hold out much hope for Best Buy's future.
Best Buy is the blockbuster of, this decade.
In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are higher in global trading this morning, up 1% in Hong Kong, 0.3% higher in London right now, ahead of tomorrow's big EU summit on the debt crisis. Ahead of that summit, the German Chancellor Angela Merkel threw cold water on the idea of shared European borrowing. She said there wouldn't be euro bonds, as they're called, quote, as long as I live. Here in this country, we'll get earnings today from General Mills. Its signature cereal, Cheerios, has been America's most popular for more than 60 years. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow tacked on 32 points to close at 12,534.
Show Marketplace how much you like us. Stay connected to our hosts, reporters, and top stories on Facebook. Find us at facebook.com/APM Marketplace.
So I'm still trying to figure out if this weekend or next weekend is a holiday weekend because the 4th of July falls in the middle of the week this year. But either way, Independence Day is right around the corner. And to celebrate here on the Marketplace Morning Report, we're going to spend this week's Money Matters segment talking about how Americans are spending their money when it comes to politics. Tess Vigeland is the host of our consumer finance show, Marketplace Money, and she joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, Tess, we always hear that the economy is the big issue for voters, but how much of that is the overall economy and how much of it is just personal finances?
Well, of course, when you look at the macro economy, everything that happens there certainly affects our wallets and our bank accounts, our personal economies. But this is definitely an indicator for us when we're choosing candidates. Bankrate.com did a survey recently that found 6 in 10 Americans say their personal financial situation is an important factor in their vote this year. In fact, some said it was the most important factor. But here's a kicker, Jeremy. Half of those same respondents said no matter who wins, it's probably not going to help their finances.
So does that mean people are not getting involved in campaigns to try to at least influence the process and get the person in power that might help their finances? Or what are they doing?
Well, no, you know, the recent numbers we have on that are back from 2009 from the Pew Research Center. And it showed that we are engaged. In fact, the more money you have, the more engaged you are in the political process. Hmm. And here's another indicator, you know, how many of us are volunteering our time free of charge for the campaigns. Well, the federal government says about 3.4 million of us are. So we are staying somewhat involved with both our money and our time.
But of course, this year is different. We've got these big super PACs, these big money donors that can go and give $1 million or whatever
right.
to support their favorite candidate. Is that keeping ordinary people out of the process at all? Do we know?
No, in fact, it's not actually. The federal election campaign reporting from the first quarter of this year showed that contributions from us to candidates for Senate, House and the presidential campaign topped $363 million. And that was just in the first quarter. So we are not shying away from opening up our wallets for the politicians that we are giving low ratings to.
Tess Vigeland, host of our consumer finance show, Marketplace Money. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jeremy.
And finally to Rhode Island, where an obscure 1989 law has been repealed. The law made it a crime for anyone in Rhode Island to lie on the internet about anything, age, height, whether you really did just check into the public library on Foursquare or just walk into the movie theater next door. The head of the Rhode Island ACLU said the law made virtually the entire population of Rhode Island a criminal. Telling fibs may be wrong, he said, but it should not be criminal activity. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.